Okay, recording is live. I'm recording this live. We're live. We're alive. We do be. Hi everyone. This isn't actually live, obviously. This is a pre-recorded thing that I'm doing as I unzip my jacket because it's the collar part of it is way too high up. I got one of these new jackets from Uniqlo the other a few weeks ago when I went to Japan with my family. And it's like this yellow furry jacket thing that has a collar part in the shape of what I call Naruto collar. I don't know how many of you guys have watched Naruto, but Naruto wears these like really cool jacket with massive, like really massive collar, the circular. You know what I'm saying? The circular collar part where you zip it up all the way. Not very practical in real life. Haven't experienced it. It just gets in the way all the time because I'm always trying to kind of look on the ground and not make too much eye contact with people who are walking past. Well, that was a very long introduction. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Overthinker Society with Suli. I'm Suli. That's me. Sue without an E. Lee as in Bruce Lee. I think that's gonna be my catchphrase. When I go to little networking parties and such, fancy cocktail parties, I could be like, I'm Sue Lee. Sue without an E. And Lee as in Bruce Lee. You can call me Sue. Ha. Ha. This episode is, I mean, I feel like this podcast, I bless your loving heart if you've been sticking around through the development of this podcast over the years. But if you have, thank you, first of all. Thank you for just, keep channeling in. I really don't know what I'm doing most of the time here on this podcast, but this podcast has gone through a lot of changes over its little history. And I really still don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But this one's new. This one's like also new. Like every week, every episode, I'm trying something new for this podcast project. But excuse me. I guess today's episode is a little special in the sense that I'm in a new podcast studio, so to speak. As I request, studio is a very, very fancy word for where I am right now. But basically, I am currently inside of my car at the time of this recording. Emphasis on my car. I own a car, bitch. I bought a car. Well, wait, hold on. I don't know if I even talked about living in LA now. I don't know. I really honestly, I think the last episode was about my mom's alcoholism. So probably there's a lot of a gap in between. But basically, long story short, guys, I have moved officially now to Los Angeles. I know I was here in the city for accumulatively, that doesn't sound right. Anyway, for half a year, for almost half a year last year, but I would call it almost a quite nomadic life, even though I had a like a primary residential little spare room that I was residing in most of the time, but it was a stay that was very, very spontaneous, and I really had nothing. I really was not prepared for anything. Like, I had to get a new phone service because, oh, shit, guess what? If I were to live in LA, I need a US phone number. Whoa, I hadn't thought of that when I canceled my flight back to Korea. Also the car, you know, like, how can you move around in LA? How can you meet people that you so wish to meet and was the whole reason you were in LA in the first place if you don't have a viable means of transport? Except for Uber, but it costs like $60 per like 10-minute ride. It's ridiculous, guys. It's gonna break my bank. Uber, please. Please. I mean, I really don't need you anymore because I got a car now, but For those of us out there who are experiencing similar things like I was last year with Ubers just being way too overpriced, please just Uber, chill the hell down. You gotta chill the heck down, please. Anywho, yes, I am in LA. I have arrived in LA. I am in LA. And I will be in LA for at least 2 months? 3 months? Sorry, I keep coughing. It's because I watched the Super Bowl for the first time the other day and I screamed way too loudly at nothing, at commercials, basically. I don't think I really even gave a shit about what was going on with the Super Bowl. Except for when Riri came out and just blasted the stage. She soared through the mirror things and she had no harness on and she could fall. Oh my God! She was dancing with the Oompa Loompas! That was amazing. But other than that, I was just screaming at nothing. Just watching lots of big dudes throwing around almonds. I call it the almond throwing game because it looks like it's just a bunch of dudes just throwing around almonds. Yo, give me my almond back, dude. It's not cool, bro. Yo, I'm taking your almond, dude. Touchdown! This almond is mine, bitch. My almond. It's nice. It's really nice to have a car. I mean, it's not a perfect. I got it new, but I'm very proud of myself. I do want to say that I'm very proud of myself for kind of navigating through this whole experience of buying my first car alone. I mean, yes, you live and you learn. I might have made a few little oopsies that I kind of might have overlooked a little bit when I was looking into buying a new car. But all in all, I like my new baby. I like my new motor baby. It's a Prius C. Just the same exact model that I just like had. When I did the research for this whole thing, I was like, yes, I want this. I need a Prius. It could be Prius or Prius C, but it has to have the word Prius in it. This is mine. This baby has to be mine. I am going to own a Prius baby. And Prius baby it is that I got. It's a baby that needs a lot of work. But not as much work. It's just little little, you know, bits and bobs like the door not locking and such. It's all good. The door, it does lock because I have the mechanical key. It's just a hassle. I'm going to have to go back all the way to Dana Point, which is where I bought this car from, to get this damn door fixed. But other than that, this baby is great. It runs great. I love my new baby. I've been enjoying driving as well, of course, which is obviously the whole reason why I bought this car. And It's just so nice, guys. It's so nice. It's like a level of freedom that I don't think I've ever gotten to have actually anywhere, not just in LA, but in Korea or in the UK where I was studying. It was just, I never drove a vehicle, my own vehicle, in my entire life. And this is like a new experience that I never got to have. Just running errands, running more than one errand at a time. Like, what? That is a possibility. I can go to the library, borrow some books, and also go grocery shopping afterwards. And what? I can't stop smiling. I can't stop smiling when I'm in the car alone. I just can't. It just makes me so happy to be able to run errands. Plural form. It's so great. It's so great. I can run around, do the errands. I can go out, walk at a random street. Because I always want to walk at. I love walking. But sometimes when you start to walk in the same neighborhood for too long of a time, it just gets a little boring. You start to like want to walk on new roads. You want to go on a new, fresh route. Drive a couple of miles away and you can just street park. Just make sure you read the signs carefully because all these signs are so complicated, guys. The parking signs in LA, it's like, oh, you can't park between 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. the next day, except for Tuesdays. But on Thursdays, you can park from 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. But only on Thursdays. It's just really, really confusing. But other than that, like once I can just like park in a random street and be like, yeah, this is a nice street. I think I'm going to go take a stroll. It's great. I love it. I love it so much, guys. I can also go to the beach. I can also go to the beach, which I adore. I loved going to the beach even way before I owned a vehicle. Like I love Santa Monica Beach. I love Venice Beach. I love that whole route is for sure kind of my healing place, if you will, or at least one of them. I'm trying to find like a second one because it starts to kind of get weird. I'll get to the weird part later, actually, because it might actually make a pretty, I feel like fun may not be the right word because it's a little bit fucked up, but but it's a very intriguing story for sure. But basically, my point is I'll get to that weird story later because it just I feel like it's gonna definitely throw me off on a tangent. but the point is, I think I need like I'm looking for. A second comfort place, you know, like I need to like switch things around basically, just like the walking part. Like I can't just always be going to Venice Beach or Santa Monica Beach to let some steam out. Mainly I go to the beach to skate. So maybe my next kind of comfort crib, if you will, my zone, my turf, if you will. I should look for a decent just skate park in general, not just the beach. And so that I can kind of like go back and forth. I love skating. But not gonna lie, I mean I should also say that skate parks in Venice Beach is not perfect at all, especially for rollerbladers like me. I'm not cool enough to do skateboards. But also, you know what? I can shred on these rollerblades. Like, I would say that I'm, like, okay. I'm pretty good. Like, I may not... What is it called? Ollies? Like, some fancy shit that skateboarders can do. I may not be able to do that, but I can do something that looks cool that you can't do on the skateboard, on the blades. It kind of looks cool, I think. Or at least, maybe I just felt cool when I just looked like I was just sticking my butt out the whole time, not to fall. Yeah, skating's a great hobby of mine, especially now that I've got a car that I can, I don't have to like carry around that big ass bulky thing around everywhere. well, actually getting back to that weird story, basically when you go to, I don't know if you would, if this is something that happens commonly, but when you go to a same place, whether that may be like your go-to cafe or gym or, you know, the beach in my case, often enough, you start to like weirdly bump into the same people, you know, the regulars, if you will. So by being a regular at a certain place, you kind of start to familiarize yourself and get familiarized with kind of the same people, the regulars. And I had a bit of a weird, not so pleasant regular encounter experience at the beach the other day. And I mean, if you're like, it might get dark. It might actually, this story might get a little bit dark. So I might try to put some timestamps on this one at the very least, because I'm not filming it on video. So I might as well like at least put some timestamps on it with some little extra, like, you know, spicy, helpful spice, if it helps at all to the listeners out there right now. So yeah, if you're not in the mood for anything like dark, or like too personal. It's a little bit personal. It feels personal in my car right now. The car really does make me feel like I can really ease in and talk about some deep shit. Just deep-rooted secrets shit. But if you like somebody spilling the tea about something that you wouldn't normally hear me say on other places, then you're at the right place. But basically, I went to the beach the other day for the first time ever since I got the car. And so it was the first time I went to the beach since I left LA last year to go back to Korea for Christmas. And my last visit to the beach actually ended on a very bizarre and sad note. So basically, I had this, so a little confession time. Basically, I have never, ever, ever been approached by, well, no, never, ever, ever would be a lie. I've never really, let's say, okay, I need to make this sentence work. I really do need to make this sentence work. I have never had anyone approach me in public places for a conversation. Ever. There were like a couple of times where, like, you know, some people were like, oh, I lost a bet with my friend. So, because I lost, I need to, like, get your phone number now, I guess. First of all, that was the worst pickup line I've ever... It's like, you lost a bet? Oh, and the loser has to get my phone number? Like, that doesn't flatter me at all. That doesn't make me feel good. But anywho, there were times when... I got my phone number, like, I got asked for my phone number, but I never had anyone approach me for a full-on conversation, right? And at the beach that day last year, I had my first ever, like, stranger coming up to talk to me experience. And okay, well, I'm not going to reveal this person's name. Let's... I can't really, like... remember his name, which is, I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing because this could have been a very traumatic experience that like the, like I could shudder at just at the, like hearing the name of the person. Like I don't, fortunately I'm not traumatized, which is kind of funny because it was kind of fucked up. Anyway, so I meet this guy, let's call him Octopus. Just to add a little bit of, just a little touch of, well, you know, Octopus just feels a little too humorous for this story that I'm about to unveil. So let's call him Octo, in short. That feels a little more, like, sophisticated, if you will. Octo comes up to me. He's a chill-looking dude. He's, you know, like, you know, he's wearing the kind of standard beach attire. Like shorts, and I think it was summer, so it was like pretty hot day, shorts and t-shirt and some slippers or whatever. And Octo came up to me when I was taking a little break after skating for a few hours, on the grass. He just kind of like casually sits down and starts talking to me about stuff that I don't really remember. I don't think it was significant enough to remember. One thing led to another. I grab a drink in the middle of the day, make this stupid decision to, I don't know if I should talk about this. You know what? Who the hell cares? Nobody really cares. This is a platform. This is a platform, like, please, 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 for the sake of your mental health, if this is like triggering in any way, or if you feel like this is like, why is she talking about this publicly? Like, why? Just think of this as like, this is my therapy, and I hate therapists. I've tried 6 of them. I hate them all, and they sound really condescending. I think it has something to do with like being a little traumatized by my dad being one, and it's just like really fucked up that it's all these things I can't talk to therapist. So this is my therapy. But if it's triggering in any way, because you're not my therapist, so if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm not her therapist, why am I listening to this? Please go. Please. Please go treat yourself to some chocolate and some nice warm tea and talk to your doggies and kitties. Pet your kitties and go smooch your husband and your wife and your girlfriend and your boyfriend and say hi to your sister and your, like, just do whatever that's the best for your mental health, okay? I just want to put this out there before I get into anything more dark and personal. But basically, one thing led to another. I grabbed drinks with this total stranger, and I end up at his house, which is right next to the beach. And I am drunk, and I am, I've lost a lot of the prefrontal cortex ability at this point, and I'm not, it's probably not the best place and time to, I didn't feel like I was would be able to make smart decisions and choices. That he shows me like some art that he's doing, like, oh, I painted this, not gonna lie, sorry, it looks like shit. Sorry, I didn't have the guts to say it in front of your face. But Octo, your paintings suck. It really does. I'm not saying this just like, I really mean it. It sucks. Your paintings, like, I don't remember what he said, but I think he said he was like an aspiring artist or something. Painter. I don't know. It's just lame. And then he shows me his he's paintings and talk about some stuff. And then I'll save all the gruesome details, but it gets like really touchy and bad and like uncomfortable. And yeah, I've had to like kind of run out of that house, because if I didn't, I would probably have been raped. It's I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, hey, Octo is not, was definitely, it's, it, Octo doesn't sound as bad as I make him, as I make him sound right now, because he didn't, like, he wasn't forceful or anything. It's just, I just found it really, really uncomfortable having to start saying no multiple times repeatedly. It was just a bizarre, bad experience. But I do have to say that, like, it's, I said this before, but it really wasn't traumatizing. I think it's kind of sad that it's not, you know. It's a very intense experience for sure. And, like, it wasn't a pleasant experience, of course, but I think it just goes on to say, it just goes to say that I was going through quite a phase last year at that time around. I was juggling a lot of things, like, you know, it was so new being in this crazy city, and I think I might have underestimated the capacity that I hold to, there's only so much I can handle with the mental capacity that I had. And I think I got to a point in my career and in my personal life that I just, that things, like, got so hectic and bizarre and just overloaded. And I was saying yes to so many things, too many things, that I kind of went goblin mode and let myself get a little bit defenseless. Hence the whole beach situation, right? So I feel like I'm just psychoanalyzing myself a little bit, but in hindsight, I think the reason why I really don't feel traumatized at all by that incident is because it was just part of a bigger trauma, you know? It was just part of a big, 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 ugly, gruesome phase that I went through for a couple of months here in LA last year. I learned a lot from it, though. I learned a lot from all these events and encounters with different people, different situations. It made me realize and learn things that I didn't even realize was there in people that I already thought I knew. And it was definitely, definitely character building, if anything, for sure. But anyways, back to the beach story. Like, it's by the way, the dark part is over. So if you've been listening, congrats for going through that with me. But now, on a lighter note, I went to the beach the other day, now with my new flashy car, used but new for me. Technically not new, but sure. I went to the beach to skate, and guess who I meet? Octo. For the first time in about 4 months now, 3-4 months, I bump into that person that I just hastily ran away out of his home from. Actually, it wasn't like hastily running out. Like I said, he wasn't an asshole, or as much of a big asshole. I can't do this, really. I can't. Bye. I was like, okay, bye. So yeah, it didn't end as abruptly as I made it sound like. And it was kind of nice, actually, just hear me out. It wasn't nice because, don't worry, I didn't go back to his house or anything like that. It was basically really nice because I bump into Octo, and Octo's like, oh my gosh, you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you creep. And I meant it. I could feel the difference as I said that. I could feel the difference in my, in knowing my own value and appreciating myself more and not being desperate for some company, for some stranger's company, for some, for that need to be intoxicated to talk to some stranger's company. Like I felt like I was in a completely different headspace. You could say that it's the it's all the mighty power of the new car that I got, but I think it's also that I have I've definitely grown a lot, even if it only has been a few months. Just at the end of the year, just trying to like sit down and taking that break and recovering from that big burnout and learning new things and do some self-criticism, like lots of self-criticizing during a quite a long break that I took from like making music and just feeling like I'm in the zone as an artist. And I've grown a lot. I've kind of established, well, not so much grown, but I feel like I've established now much, much stronger and armored, if you will, perspective about this world and this world revolving around me specifically. I was able to say, I'm not, like, I'm doing well. Like, I'm doing very well, and I'd like to just be alone. And that was that. I continued my day at the beach alone. I read some books. I skated a little more. It was great. I also fully enjoy the LA traffic too on my way back. It's just so nice. Just I smile all the way through the traffic. I'm not even joking. Listening to my favorite tracks. I'm just vibing, you know, staring at car butts. It's great. Hold on. Ooh, sorry. It's gonna get a little weird. I'm just trying to see. Oh, wow. I've been recording for 30 minutes. Yeah, so that's one more story. I think it's you could probably call this like over exaggerating, maybe. You might think that this is like, maybe I'm just being too dramatic. But I once saw like a documentary of this Korean idol who was, I can't remember the name of the girl of the band, but it was a K-pop idol girl group member who started to only recently like live alone. And I remember watching that documentary at the time, and she was saying something about driving for the first time and how she how being able to drive has, and getting her own car has given her such a high level of just that whole level of new empowerment of of independence. And I remember at the time when I watched it, I was like, huh, yeah, you know, I mean, like, you live in Korea, you live in, like, a country with one of the best public transports. I'm sure you're doing fine. No, you know what? I take it back. I mean, I may be in LA where the public transport is a lot, it is really not as good as the one in Korea. But I think I know what she was talking about now. It does feel a little dramatic to just say that just getting a car alone and being able to move around has made me feel more independent, but I do. I feel like I might sound like very naive to, if you're an American, especially because I know that Americans have to start driving when they're like most of the time students because their schools are so far away, just simply because the country's a lot bigger than Korea. So I'm aware that this might actually come across as being sounding really naive, but like I feel more grown up being able to do things on my own, get to places on my own quickly, and being responsible for my own safety and just everything, just getting myself to places and choosing where I want to go and being able to go where I want to go. It's great. And it's given me it's freed up a lot of space in my head, if you will. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's freed up a lot of unnecessary stress that was going on with living in LA without a vehicle of my own. Like financial stress from Ubering around, or like logistical stress that's like, oh, I've got to go grocery shopping because I'm out of groceries and nothing to eat. But damn, it's like I have to like, if I want to order it, I have to order like more than $50 worth of shopping. It's like I don't need that much food. Like, I don't know what to do. And the nearest supermarket is like 30 minutes away from my place by feet. It's like, no. It's all this like stress, unnecessary stress that was kind of filling up a big portion of my brain has been cleared away, I feel like, by getting a car. And now I'm realizing that empty space, where shall it go? Where should I use it? How should I use it? Well, sure, I will use it on focusing more on myself and my needs and what I want to be doing and where I want to be going to with this new vehicle, with this new tool that I've got. I guess I can pick up a hobby now because I can, my range of distance has widened vastly. So what should I do? Should I go to a gym? Should I sign up for a gym? Should I go thrifting more? Should I meet more people? Oh, I can stay over at my good friend Cynix's house with his kitties and his wife Joyce, who's just always chill and playing Genshin Impact in Chinese. It's just so cute. I can do that. It's great. I feel so safe. I feel much safer now. And I feel like this is, it's looking back to a lot of the episodes that I have recorded, I don't remember being in a very good mental state. Every time I recorded an episode, I think I was a little bit slightly off. Something was slightly off. I didn't feel like I was in my element. And it almost felt like I couldn't do it sober. Like, I felt like I needed to be under an influence or something. But of course I didn't, because I have to walk back home. Or like, I have to go out and actually get stuff done. I've never been that happy every time I recorded this episode, but today I am very, very, very at peace. At this point, I don't know what happiness feels like. It's just a word at the end of the day. Like, everybody has different perception of what happiness feels like, and I probably have my own, but I generally feel like the word happiness just triggers a bit of a, ooh, I have to be happy, happy. Oh, I feel great. No, you can just be feeling, eh. But I'm feeling pretty peaceful. I'm feeling pretty chill. And haven't experienced life. I know that this peace is like the best feeling. It's actually better than happiness, because this peace is like the kind of peace that is definitely more in perspective than just being in the state of happiness. See, I see a lot of people being like, oh, I'm so happy right now. Like, and I want to be happier. And like, this is pure happiness. This experience is pure happiness. I think that's great. But I think being happy doesn't necessarily entail the awareness of something else happening and probably will happen in the near future, like something opposite from happiness, like sadness or anger or something that goes unexpected and makes you upset. This peace that I'm feeling right now is great because I'm not happy. I'm not like jumping around in joy, but I'm also not feeling overwhelmed to a point where I'm like sobbing and feel the need to curl up into a ball. I feel like I am just in the perfect balance of like, you know what? I might lean more into the sad side and the blue side, the desperate and the stressful, the upset side and the angry side a little bit. I might lean into the more joyful, peaceful, bubbly, happy-go-lucky side of things, but I'm okay either way. I think that's the key to this piece. Like, I'm doing great precisely because I don't feel the need to feel better or worse. Like, I'm okay either way. I think having this perspective is the very sign that I have definitely grown since I kind of contemplated on this matter. I'm okay. I'm okay not being okay. Like, I can find ways to manage it a little bit better. I'm finding ways to manage it a little bit in a way that brings less pain, if not no pain. And it's great. But hey, it doesn't last. Nothing lasts. So I thought I would sit down and just kind of capture this moment, this piece, and what thoughts are going through in my head in this state of peace, and just record it and share it with you guys. But yeah, thanks for channeling into my, for today's episode, at peace stream of thought conversation. I hope this episode finds you well. I hope that you have a lovely day. And I really, really, really hope you can feel peace that is the most suitable, the most cup of your tea. I hope you find that piece that really scratches that spot for you. Feel like, this is it. This is the perfect piece. This is the missing puzzle piece. The fact that I realize there is no need to find the missing puzzle piece. It's going to get philosophical if I keep on going, but you know what I mean. Thank you for listening. It's great to be back. I hope the audio quality is great because it feels great in here. The acoustic treatment in this car is pristine, I might say. Quite enjoying this. This might actually turn into my little podcast studio. I could have a little guest
in my guest seat, you know, it'll be chill. Wow, this could actually be a thing. This could actually be a thing. Huh, carpool podcast. I feel like there's something there. I feel like I'm onto something. Anywho, thanks guys. And I'll talk to you next episode. Thank you for listening to Overthinker Society. Bye.